The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, good morning, you guys. Good to see everyone here. Okay, so last week, Debbie and I were celebrating our anniversary, so we were at the Grand Canyon. We were actually, it was really nice. It was nice to be away and know that like everything was still going according to plan here. So had some good folks that were holding down the fort here. And then I went back and I was listening to the live stream because I didn't want to miss Jerry's message, and I know the week before he jokingly said, if you don't come back, remember that? He said, if you don't come back the next week, then you're a sinner, which, you know, I've been called worse, as Jerry likes to say. But then, of course, he says, before he starts his message, well, it looks like the only people that didn't show up, didn't come back, is Debbie and Jeremiah. So I'll gladly take the title of sinner. I mean, as long as a sinner is saved by grace, if it's just a sinner in his sin, then that's, yeah. Oh, yeah, praying for my salvation. Are you worried about my salvation? So this series, We Wrestle Not. You know, I know Jerry already mentioned that we had a little conversation about this. And, you know, whenever Jerry and I go to plan a series, it usually goes this direction. You guys that have been with us for a while, you know that when we get down to the discussion of what series upcoming, we have a lot of really bad ideas that just stays on the, you know, on the editing floor of our brains. And so we're just like, okay, that's not going to work. That'll scare people away. Yeah, no one's coming back if we do that one. And so we always come up with something that we want to drive home the truth of God's word, but at the same time, we want it to be memorable. We want it to be something that when you think about it, maybe when you're watching, you know, wrestling or watching, going back and watching Nacho Libre again, then you'll think of some of the things we talked about. So that's where the Re Wrestle Not series came out of, this idea. And my message today is called Summon Your Ego Power. And if you've seen the movie Nacho Libre, I'm going to show a little clip of it. But Nacho is trying his hardest to win these wrestling tournaments. And he's doing it for a good cause, right? So he works in the monastery with the orphans. And so he's trying to provide better food for the orphans. And so his whole... He has a noble goal for wanting to win these Lucha Libre competitions or these matches. And so his goal is to be able to get these orphans better foods. And so he recruits Steven, who gets the name Esqueleto, right? Because he's so skinny. And so he recruits him to be his partner in wrestling. And so these two are the duo that together, you know, win the matches. And they discover quickly that even when they lose a match, they still get paid. So that keeps them going, right? Because they're like, okay, we're still going to get money. We're going to do this. Well, Nacho gets tired. He gets tired of losing. And he's like, I want to win, right? He's like, I got to win. So he hears about this guy that can give him these eagle powers. And so he's got to go and he's got to get this egg from this eagle's nest. It's a whole thing, right? And so he finally, you know, accomplishes this feat. He gets the egg. He eats it. And then he's thinking, oh, for this next match, I'm going to kill everybody, right? Because I'm going to have my eagle powers. And so there's this great scene. And by the way, the match is like 20 seconds long. I'm going to show you the entire wrestling match so you'll see how the eagle powers served Nacho Libre. But here it is. So right before the big match, Nacho has all this confidence, right? You'll see it come out in this clip. Here we go.
Summon your eagle powers.
What do you think I am doing?
Yeah.
All right, that's the whole match, right? And you heard at the beginning Stephen saying, summon your eagle powers, like now it's time. And he's like, what do you think I'm doing, you know? He's like, I am summoning my eagle powers. And then, of course, they didn't do him any good, and he gives one last call out at the very end, you know, eagle powers, come to me, please. So this is a funny scene, right? We're cracking up at just the whole idea, the ridiculousness of him thinking that somehow if he eats this egg from the eagle's nest that he's going to have this power that's going to make him a better wrestler, when the reality is the only thing that's going to make him a better wrestler is learning better technique. But he's trying to take this shortcut. And so when he says, I'm going to summon my eagle powers, we all know this, right? He doesn't actually have eagle powers. There's no power there. Matter of fact, in the dressing room afterwards, he's telling Stephen, it was a lie, Stephen, right? It's no eagle powers. He's trying to hype himself up, right? And he's also trying to borrow from a source greater than himself, right? This eagle. He's trying to borrow powers from this eagle so that he can perform better. And if we're honest, we do the same thing. We look everywhere except for the true source of our strength. And we think that every time that we have it figured out and we're like, okay, this is going to be it. This is going to what's going to give me that edge. This is what's going to make me victorious or whatever it might be. And for some reason, and I don't know why, maybe I should speak for myself. You know, that's like Jerry always says, you know, and maybe not you guys, but this is what happens to me. I seem to go to a lot of places first before I run to God. And so I start looking for just the right thing that's going to give me the edge, that's going to help me with this thing. And then I figure out quickly, oh, this is not the direction I need to be going. I'll tell myself things like, I've got this, or I've got to be strong, or I just need to muscle through, or I need to just white knuckle it through, and I can do it. But today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6. Paul starts out by telling us that the only way that we can have power is through submitting to God and allowing his power to be our strength. So God doesn't tell us to summon inner strength. He tells us to draw from a source outside ourselves, because this fight is not physical. It's spiritual. The battle that we're in is not physical. It's spiritual. We've talked a lot about that already, and I'm going to actually reference some things that we've already discussed because they're so important for us. But here we are, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. You guys can follow along in your Bibles, or they're on the screen for you. It says this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So, Father, thank you for today. As we dig into your word, God, I pray that you would help us to see clearly that the battle, the enemy that we're up against is not flesh and blood. And so many times that's where we want to direct our attention. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to recognize the battle we face every day is spiritual, and help us to take on those powers that only you make available to us so that we can have victory. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So this is not the first time you've heard this passage, because I think we've read it each time so far that we've met on this series. But notice Paul has a certain order to the things that he's talking about. He doesn't start with talking about the devil, right? What does he start with? He starts with talking about the strength that we have available in God. Because you cannot face your opponent until you recognize where your power comes from. When you recognize where your power comes from, then you can go to battle. Then you can go into the fight. You can enter the ring, so to speak. So the first thing I want you guys to take with you is that we receive God's strength. We don't summon our own. Now, this message is going to be the complete opposite of what the world is going to tell you, because the world is always going to tell you that you have the power within you, that you have the ability within you. You just have to get it to come out, right? I'm sure you've heard that before. But there's a lot of people that are going to encourage you and that are going to tell you, you just need to look deeper within. You have to know yourself. Or maybe they want you to just hone your skills. And the reality is that there's no inner strength that's going to be able to have any kind of victory in the spiritual realm. There's no strength that we can muster that's going to give us victory when it comes to the spirit world. And so we receive God's strength. We don't summon our own. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's his power that we have strength. So Nacho talks about summoning eagle powers, right? But he's still relying on himself, right? But Paul says this. He says, you can't summon strength. You cannot manufacture courage. You can't fake confidence. And by the way, these are all the things that the world tells us we can do. This is like the key to success, right? Depend on your own strength. Depend on yourself, right? You all have a lion inside of you. Whatever the expression is today that describes that person that needs to come out and take over. And then, of course, you've heard the expression, fake it till you make it, right? You've heard people say that, you know? Pretend like you have the confidence. Pretend like you have the ability. There's no pretending necessary when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. If we have a relationship with God, we don't have to pretend that we have strength. We don't have to pretend that we have confidence or that we have power, because we do have it. It's available to us on the regular. So these are things that all come from the Lord. And when it comes to these things, spiritual strength is received, not generated. We can't generate our own spiritual strength for the battle. It's something that we receive from God. Ephesians 1, 18 through 19 tells us that you may know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. My friends, that's it. That's exactly it. It is God's great power. It is his might that gives us victory. And this is in every walk of life. But let me just say this. The battles that you face on the normal daily struggles, the conflicts that you face, at first they may appear to be physical. They may appear to be in relationships. They may appear to be in difficult circumstances. But the reality is the challenges that we face are spiritual. Even the things that are very much physical have a spiritual side to them, because the way that we react, the way that we respond, the way that we make it through is going to depend upon the strength of our relationship with God. And that's where our power comes from. So we start to lose spiritual battles when we say stuff like this. When we say, I need to be stronger. I just need more willpower. I'm sure you've heard that one before. Maybe you've said that yourself, right? Anybody ever gone on a diet and you found yourself saying, I just need the willpower. And what are you doing? You're just depending on yourself. You're depending on when you diet by yourself, you really don't get very far. But when you invite people to, you know, do it with you, it's like working out, right? You have a partner that's going to go to the gym with you. You've got a reason to show up. You're probably not going to keep going on your own. We were cracking up because the day after, I think it was like 2 days after New Year's, I was driving through the parking lot, you know, where Planet Fitness is. And I literally couldn't get it. Usually you can just go across. All those parking spaces are usually empty, right? You can just go straight across there and you know, cut across to Costco or whatever. But I realized that the entire parking lot was full. And I'm like, oh, there's a special event going on. I'm like, this is, you know, there's an event happening. And Debbie's like, no. It's everybody's New Year's resolutions. Like, they're all in the gym. They're all working out. But I wonder how full that parking lot is going to be this week. Probably only the people that had a partner that was going with them to work out are actually still going to be consistent with that. And that's the thing. For us, we think that we can do everything on our own. We think that we can muster the strength, that we can somehow build up the stamina, and that we're going to be able to do it on our own. And it's just not true. It doesn't happen for us. So we don't need more willpower. We need to be able to have God's strength. So these are expressions of self. These are expressions that express our own will, that depend on our own strength. But here's the thing. God never asks us to be strong for him. He invites us to be strong in him. He doesn't say, go out there and be strong for me. Be strong on my behalf. No, he says, go out there and I will give you the strength. You can be strong because of me, because of your relationship with me. So once Paul establishes the source of our strength in this passage, then he tells us why it's needed. The second thing I want you to take with you is we fight against a real enemy. We fight against a real enemy. Look what it says in verse 12, against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world. My friends, just because our enemy cannot be seen doesn't mean he's not real. Just because you can't see the enemy doesn't mean that the enemy is not after you. Satan's pretty tricky. Max Lucado said it this way, make no mistake, the devil is a real devil. Every conflict is a contest with Satan and his forces. See, the sooner we figure out that the conflicts that we face have a spiritual element to them, the sooner we're going to be able to defeat the enemy, the sooner we're going to be able to have victory in those difficult circumstances. Your conflict may involve people, but it's not about the people. It's like Jerry said a couple weeks ago. Instead of fighting the real enemy, what do we end up doing? We fight people. We fight institutions. We fight circumstances. And so we're directing all this energy at all these things that are not actually where the battle is at. And so we really don't have any victory. And then we wonder, why are we not being successful in this? Why are we not overcoming these things? See, there's no doubt that spiritual warfare is real and that followers of Jesus have a real enemy in Satan and his demons. You have a real enemy. You have someone who's out to get you, who doesn't want to see you be successful in your walk with Jesus. Your enemy doesn't want to see you have victory. Your enemy doesn't want to see you spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, bolstering your faith. The enemy doesn't want you going to church, doesn't want you going to Bible study, doesn't want you to be a part of a community of faith where you can become stronger. All those things are weapons in your arsenal, and the enemy doesn't want those things to be a part of your life. And so you're going to discover conflict after conflict, issue after issue, circumstance after circumstance, things that happen that are going to prevent you from doing the very thing that's going to strengthen your faith and draw you closer to God. It's like Billy Graham said, don't doubt for a moment the devil's existence, and don't doubt for a moment that he is your enemy. When we get complacent, when we think that it's just me against the world, or it's just me, you know, out there trying to figure it out, and we don't recognize that we're on a battlefield and that the enemy is after our soul, we leave ourselves completely vulnerable to his attacks, and he's good at it. But don't let that intimidate you or make you feel like you need some kind of specialized training, right, or some inborn talent. James gives us some simple instructions, and I know Jerry referenced this last week. Some simple instructions for defeating the enemy on the daily. What does it say in James 4, verse 7? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What's this verse all about? It's about obedience. Submitting yourself to God means that you're obedient to God, that you're paying attention to what God is saying to you, and you're responding to it with actions, that your behavior is reflecting the guidance and counsel of God's word, the things that God is telling you. That's what it means to wage spiritual warfare. Waging spiritual warfare does not mean praying more decisively or assuming authority that we don't have. It means trusting in the power of God and submitting our will to his. Being obedient to God is the only way that you're going to have victory. And my friends, when I say have victory, some of you might think to yourself, oh, you know, there's something big down the road, and God's going to give me the strength to overcome it. But what we don't realize is that before you hit that big thing, you're going to have a lot of speed bumps along the way. There's going to be a lot of small things that are going to derail you, that are going to keep you from staying on the path of Jesus, so that when you do get to that big conflict, guess what? You literally have no strength to tackle it. You have no ability to be able to face that big enemy, because all the little things along the way have dissettled you and derailed you. So you have to keep your guard up all the time. What does it mean to submit to God's will in this fight? It means this. We fight God's way, not our own. We fight God's way, not our own. Verse 11 says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Jerry did a great job last week of going down through the armor of God, talking about the things that we need to cover our lives in order for us to not only be able to protect ourselves or to be able to be defended from the enemy, but also to be able to be on the offensive. God has given us some powerful tools. If you missed it, you need to go back and watch it again so you kind of get a good summary of the armor of God. Here, if you missed it, I have a quote from Billy Graham that might help. He says, we are not defenseless. God's provided us with all the armor we need, armor so strong that Satan and his servants cannot penetrate it. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer, every one of these has a role in defeating our adversary. So go back and listen to last week's message, because Jerry breaks all this down for you and gives you the practical steps to be able to apply these things. So important. Here's the thing, my friends. Our battle is against spiritual forces, so it can only be fought with spiritual weapons and defenses. We start thinking it can only be fought with with physical weapons and physical defenses. That's why we react the way we do when somebody says something insulting to us, or somebody does something that we don't approve of, or something that upsets us, and our reaction is just right there. We're right away reacting because we're reacting to the physical. We're reacting to the world around us instead of relying on God's Spirit and the power that He gives us. But when it comes to spiritual things, we approach them pretty flippantly, right? It's like the spiritual things kind of get pushed to the back burner. We don't approach those things in the way that we should. We don't give them the value that they have and that they belong in our lives. The other day I was doing something and I tweaked my back a little bit. So those of you that are younger, you can do a lot of stuff without hurting your back. As you get older, you start to be a little more careful. I mean, about everything. So the activity that I was doing when I hurt my back was I was making the bed. So, and I go through the same motion all the time. I'm on one side of the bed and I'm like throwing the comforter across the bed. I shouldn't even do the motion. I'm probably going to hurt myself. And I just kind of like, you know, whip the comforter out across. And then I did that and I felt a twinge in my back. And I'm like, what is that? Did I just hurt my back making the bed? And here's the bad thing about hurting yourself when you do something like that. You know, you walk around in public, you're like, and someone's like, ooh, your back? Yeah. How'd you hurt your back? You're like, doing stuff around the house. Oh, yeah, that, yeah, what were you doing? I was making something. Yeah, that's what I was doing. What were you making? In the bed, you know. You don't want to tell people that you hurt yourself. But here's the thing. We start to get really casual when it comes to stuff like that, and then we end up doing something and we hurt ourselves, and we think we have the strength, we think that we have whatever it takes, and because we're not thinking about it and we're not prepared for that moment, then what happens? We're injured. We hurt ourselves. Nowadays when I drop a coin, I look at the coin and I'm like, I won't pick up anything that's below a quarter, right? If it's a quarter, I'll bend over and get it. If it's a dime, I'm like, no, I could hurt my back picking up a dime, and that's just not going to be worth it. So here's the thing. We approach these things so flippantly, but we don't recognize how vulnerable we are. And I learned to respect my own physical vulnerability after getting hurt, doing something just menial and ordinary. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's so easy for us to just set those things aside and not worry about it. Or say things like, you know, I'll get to it later, right? Spiritually, we behave recklessly. What do? We ignore prayer. We neglect Scripture. We skip out on community. These are just the three big things that God is telling us we need in order for us to be strong, in order for us to have the strength that it takes to face the everyday battle. That's just the minimum. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that God is telling us what we need to do that need to be a part of our lives. And He's given all those things in His Word, and so I encourage you and I challenge you. These are the kind of things that make us vulnerable when we're not doing the things that God is telling us we need to do. And then we wonder why we're spiritually injured, why we're, you know, spiritually walking around with a bit of a limp, not able to do some of the things that we thought we'd be able to do. Here's the last thing I want to leave with you, and that's we fight against an enemy with a plan. Enemy with a plan, Ephesians 6:11. Says, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. This word strategies, check this out in the Greek, methodia, an orderly, logical, effective method, usually in steps to achieve an end, describes deliberate planning with a systematic approach. That's the word that's being used to describe Satan's tactics. Satan has spent a lot of time thinking about what exactly it would take to take you down. He knows the things that can take you down. His methods are not random or haphazard. They're thoughtful. They're conniving. He's really thought this through. In her book, Armor of God, Priscilla Shura said this, Satan's strategy against you is clever. He plans to zero in on your deepest insecurities and desires. Yeah, think about that. The things that you are most vulnerable in, Satan is going to use those things to turn them against you. This is why it's so important for us to be prepared. This is why it's so important for us to be armored up. Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians 2:9-11. He says, For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Again, we're reminded, these are Satan's designs. These are his plans. These are his methods. And if we're not aware of them, if we're not paying attention to them, they're going to catch us off guard. My friends, the greatest weapon we have in spiritual warfare is to live in obedience to Christ. There's nothing that derails Satan's schemes more effectively than a life that is surrendered to Jesus. So if you are surrendered to Jesus, if you're being obedient to him, guess what? All your defenses are up. You're ready. Some of you are exhausted because you keep trying to hype yourself up to do it in your own strength. You're trying to summon your own eagle powers, right? You're depending on yourself, and you're tired and you're exhausted because of that. And you feel like, I just can't have any victory in my life. Have you said that to yourself? Don't raise your hand, but have you said to yourself, God, why can't I get a win? Why can't I move forward? Why can't I have any kind of victory over this? Why is that? Because you're depending on yourself. God is asking us to submit, to trust, to stand firm, to draw our strength from him. Those are the things that it takes to live in obedience to God. And by the way, that's the only way that we can have access to God's strength and his power, is through living in obedience to him. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And I had to use this verse because that's the real eagle power, okay? That's the real, it's dependence upon God. It's us listening to God's spirit. It's us paying attention to the things that God is telling us we need to do. And when we do that, we're ready for the battle. We can face the conflict ahead of us. Would you guys bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that you love us so much, that you give us a clear plan and clear direction for how we can have victory in this life. God, thank you for not allowing us to be out there on our own, depending on our own powers, our own strength. God, you have given us everything that we need. And so, Father, I pray for everyone in this room, God, that you would give us the ability to fully depend upon you, to fully trust in you, to do the things you're asking us to do that are going to actually draw us closer to you, so that in living in obedience to you, Satan will run away. Satan and his demons will flee. Help us to do that, Father. Every day is a battle. And we want to be the people of God. We want to be your warriors. Maybe you're here today, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today and you would say, yes, I'm tired of fighting the battles on my own. I'm tired of facing off with Satan and feeling like it's just me. I'm tired of sometimes saying, God, where are you in this? You ever felt abandoned by God? The truth is, God has never abandoned you. God has never left you. God is right there with you. He's ready and he's waiting for you to step into obedience. Maybe it's just following a simple step that God wants you to take in your life. Maybe that's the first step in being obedient to him that's going to end up giving you victory over whatever conflict is ahead. So I just encourage you today. If that's you today, if you're feeling overwhelmed and maybe like you just can't seem to get ahead, I encourage you to pray a very simple prayer and just say, God, help me to see the places that I need to trust you deeper. Expose to me the places in my life where I need to be obedient to you. And help me to depend upon you and not my own strength to face these battles. And God, my hope, my prayer is that is the sincere desire of all of our hearts. We would all want to be stronger for you, that we would all want to be faithful to you, God, and do whatever it takes, whatever we need to do, allow you to do whatever you need to do in our hearts so that we can fight this battle. Thank you, Father. We love you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. One last thing I just want to say before you guys go. This battle is not meant for us to fight alone. If you're struggling with something, if you feel overwhelmed, please seek somebody out. It doesn't have to be myself. It doesn't have to be Jerry. It doesn't necessarily have to be a pastor. God has equipped each and every one of us to be the person that someone else can run to in time of need. That's what the family of God is all about. So I just encourage you, don't go at this alone. Seek out someone that can step into your life and come alongside you. Does that sound good? Awesome. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.